Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
What happened to John McCain? He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo Chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the Chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all. Because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network. It's Friday morning, and our guest this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm certainly happy to be with you again, Dr. Stan.
Well, what are we going to talk about?
Well, first major topic, which is apropos for this upcoming election, people are already voting in advance. There's really a conspiracy of silence still about hiding Obama's defective citizenship. You know, if there ever was a blockbuster story that should have, on the eve of this momentous U.S. election, become the focal point of the media attention and detailed scrutiny of the Federal Election Commission, it is this, that Barack Obama continues to refuse to release certifiable documentation that he's a natural-born citizen in conformance with the requirements of the Constitution. You know, we're watching a coordinated effort of establishment media, the federal government, the state of Hawaii, federal judges, and even the McCain campaign, who refuses to make this an issue when they could easily demand, as a candidate who has standing, that Barack Obama has to prove that he is qualified to run for president.
And I think it's so interesting, you know, that the governor of Hawaii has sealed the records. And, you know, if there's nothing to conceal, why is the Obama campaign concealing it? And why is the John McCain campaign not making this an issue? I think those are the two of the most interesting concepts that you brought up.
Well, you know, with eight court cases, actually six still pending, and they probably won't be ruled upon. The judiciary is in no hurry to rule on this unless they make, of course, a technicality out of it, which is what they did in the Philip Berg case, incredibly ruling that a voter has no standing. Just incredible. And general damage does not to the voters does not constitute specific injury to any specific voter. I mean, just incredible legal maneuvering. Of course, these arguments came from the Obama legal team, and if I'll cover here in this interview, they tell us a lot about what their motives are by the fact that they hide behind legal shenanigans rather than simply produce the evidence, which should be easy if he's really got a birth certificate. But, you know, why do I suspect conspiracy among all these many actors? Simply because the issue is so big, so potentially damaging to Barack Obama. The evidence is so powerful in its contradictions as to the stories that have been put forth by Obama about where he was born, and the purposeful evasion of the Obama legal team is so obvious that no honest news organization could not refuse or could refuse to pick up on this top internet story unless there was a clear chain of secret orders demanding that every part of the controlled press, election bureaucracy, and judiciary avoid this issue like a plague. And
well, I think it was so interesting. Apparently, Obama's grandmother and his half-brother have both said that he was born in Kenya. Is that right?
That's right. They say that the grandmother says she was present at the birth, at a Mombasa hospital there in Mombasa, Kenya. I mean, here's an eyewitness to his birth. He says he wasn't born in Hawaii. He was taken to Hawaii later, and the birth there was falsified. And part of that is done by filing a certification of live birth. Now, my wife, as a lay midwife, knows how to do that. She does that every time there's a delivery. The midwife certifies that there was a live birth that took place out of a hospital, and certifies who the witnesses are and who the father and mother were. In this case, in Hawaii, all you had to do is certify that there was a birth. There were no witnesses involved. There were no statements of who attended the birth. This is different than a certificate of birth, which is a birth certificate, which has the doctor, which every doctor by law is required to file when they deliver a child at the hospital. And there's no doctor that's going to risk losing his license by failing to, you know, comply with the law. But there are no records from either Queens Hospital or Kapiolani Women's Medical Center, where Obama has claimed either or were his birthplaces. The public records are there. They're open to the public. And there is no, his mother is not listed as a patient, and nor is there a recorded birth. Now, there are two birth announcements in the two local newspapers there in Honolulu, but once again, those can be placed by anyone without any certification whatsoever. So it makes it appear, plus the fact that, you know, Hawaii is refusing to certify that there was a birth, and I'll tell you the reason why they're having trouble certifying. You know, a certificate of birth that, if in fact it was done in a hospital, they've got to falsify the records of the hospital. They've got to falsify the records of a doctor as well as falsify a birth certificate. And that is why in the birth certificate that it has been produced by the Obama Committee, there are two versions of it. One has a seal on it. One doesn't have a seal. And the other version has its serial number blacked out. And I have to ask you, why would you do that unless you don't want to trace it? This is a forgery. You don't block out the serial number if you want to make it available for people to check with Hawaii and see if that serial number matches the exact one on file. But you see, so Hawaii can't very easily put out another fake birth certificate with an official seal on it, because the birth certificate has to have the data of where they're born, and you can check with that doctor. They'd have to suborn that doctor into perjury. They'd have to suborn the hospitals, and then they would have to explain why the hospitals didn't have those public records when everyone was checking them last 3 or 4 weeks or months.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that the entire American media, all with very, very few exceptions, has played down this story. Nobody's done the investigation. This would be the key story right now. The looking into it, the investigation, where's the New York Times and the Washington Post and the L.A. Times?
Now, there was another court case that was settled a couple of days ago in Washington State, where a person acting pro se and not a lawyer, and he did not file correctly. He challenged the Secretary of State's certification of Obama, and the court simply ruled, well, if you're going to challenge it, you've got to present evidence that she's wrong. This is really not the way the law should work. Clearly, you know, he could have done that. He didn't file the thing properly, but even without that, he could have simply demanded of the Secretary of State to show cause of why she did certify. In other words, make the Secretary of State come up with the evidence that upon which she based her certification.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen as we approach the election of probably the first American president who is not a native-born citizen. We'll be right back here at the American Freedom Network.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If Wall Street has taught us anything, it's that we can't trust our economy to the wishes of a greedy few. That's why today in Colorado, leading businesses and organizations are standing united with working families against a few greedy owners and their risky Amendment 47. The Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, Quest,
Xcel Energy, and the Colorado Nonprofit Association are just a few who have joined to say no to Amendment 47. They know now's not the time to gamble with Colorado's economy just to benefit a greedy few. They know Amendment 47 would put at risk the wages and benefits our working families have earned. Bill Kurz has even said, quote, "The current law has worked for over 60 years. If it's not broken, why fix it?" We need to vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief have paid for this message.
What happened to John McCain? He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo Chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the Chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all. Because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, you know, even if this birth certificate turns out to be, if there does exist one, which I'm sure there doesn't, in fact, I've even made a point in today's World Affairs Brief that even if the Obama campaign comes up with a certified Hawaii birth certificate at the last moment, obviously it's got to be a forgery because they would have produced it much earlier had they had one, and but I don't think they will. In any case, there's still a problem with his citizenship because he became adopted by an Indonesian and took on an Indonesian citizenship all through his formative elementary years and did not naturalize when he came back into the United States. Now, people have asked, why is this a big thing? His mother was a citizen, so he should naturally be a citizen. Not true. The rules established by Congress that were in force at that time stated clearly that if a citizen was married to a non-citizen and born overseas, the mother had to be at least 19 years of age for that child to be considered a U.S. citizen born outside the country. She was only 18 at the time and so did not qualify under the rules for automatic citizenship for the child. In any case, there are lots of defective aspects of this, but of course the primary one, as Dr. Edwin Vera said, is Obama's stubborn refusal to provide what he claims is his own country with conclusive proof on you know, his citizenship. He says, after all, if he's only being asked to provide the public with the original copy of some official record that establishes his citizenship, why will Obama not dispel the doubts about his eligibility? Perhaps he cannot. Now that Obama's citizenship has been seriously questioned, the burden of proof rests squarely on him. If Obama comes forth at the last minute, I said, with the proof, I'll believe it's a forgery. But in any case, in disposing of the lawsuit of Philip Berg versus Obama, which squarely presented the evidence against Obama's citizenship here, the presiding judge complained that Berg would have us derail the democratic process by invalidating a candidate for whom millions of people have already voted and who underwent excessive vetting during what was the most hotly contested presidential primary. Well, this is, of course, hogwash, as he says, a proper in the first place. Just because a lot of people have voted on a candidate who isn't qualified doesn't affect the fact in the least that those votes don't count. You simply don't have the right to run for office unless you meet the qualifications. A proper judicial inquiry into Obama's eligibility will not deny his supporters the right to vote. Rather, they will determine if he has the right to run. And that's the issue. It has nothing to do with the people's right to vote. In fact, the judge, by derailing the right of a voter to complain about eligibility, is in fact derailing the democratic process. Indeed, of course, every American has the right to vote, you know, for a person who's qualified. I think one of the problems, of course, in this judge's decision is saying that a voter doesn't have standing to challenge Obama's eligibility. The judge said, regardless of questions of causation, the grievance remains too generalized to establish the existence of an injury in fact. I mean, this is just a ludicrous argument. He says further, a candidate's ineligibility under the natural born citizen clause does not result in an injury in fact to voters. This is an incredible assertion, Dr. Stan, as if a citizen's rights are not injured by the election of someone to the presidency who isn't even a citizen and giving them power to rule over them.
We live in a world gone mad, Joel. There are only a few of us who are sane, and everybody else thinks we're crazy, but your points are so well taken.
Well, would that it were true that these people were either stupid, ignorant, or mad, but they are not. They are conspiring, in my opinion.
I think you're right.
To take down the rule of law. And that's what's incredible, is that no one will speak the words conspiracy, but that's what we're dealing with. Conspiracy is a collusion of more than one officials who have a certified duty not to confer with one another, but to act independently according to the law of which they are bound. And when they collude to obstruct justice and to obstruct evidence, this is conspiracy, just as plain as day. Now, it's interesting that the form of the word standing and other legal technical constructs, these have been used for decades to obscure and obstruct the Constitution's limitations on government power. Standing is not a term found anywhere in the Constitution. This is something the judicial system made up to decide, you know, if we're going to take a case from somebody, they just make sure that only certain people that they claim are involved in the case have the right to bring a case about a constitutional issue. And of course, as we've seen in this case, they can change the definition of standing at any time or declare that someone does or does not have it with the flimsiest of arguments.
Well, I mean, now, I think Mr. Burke was a former state attorney general. He is a voter who would have standing if he wouldn't.
Well, of course, the judge claims that Congress is the only one. But where does it say in the Constitution that Congress is the only one that can do that? In fact, Raymond Kraft, another attorney, makes a very, very powerful argument. He says that about standing, he says, look at the nature of the Constitution. He says the Constitution is a contract between the people, states, and the United States federal government that defines and limits the role of the federal government and the state governments, and even talks about the people, the reserved rights that go to the people of the 10th Amendment, so they're a party to the contract. He says it's just contract 101, the first week of law school stuff. Every lawyer, every judge knows that a party to a contract has to have the right to challenge or to have standing to enforce it. There's no way you can take out anyone. I mean, this judge simply read from the convoluted arguments put forth by the Obama legal team, and that's how law generally works, is the summary judgment is written by the legal team, handed to the judge, and he signs it. He doesn't write these things unless he has a rare disagreement with them. He takes the easy route, and he signs what other lawyers have written for him. And that's why this is such an egregious violation of law.
Well, unfortunately, we no longer have rule by law. We have rule by men who have an agenda. They're backed up by the controlled media, which is not covering this story, or not covering it properly, or investigating it. And unfortunately, it looks like Obama is going to win, and we will have an illegitimate president. But he would not be there if it weren't that there were very powerful forces behind him. And the fact that both Obama and McCain are being backed by the same wealthy and powerful people, and they give us the choice of two candidates of their choice, not ours. But go right ahead.
Absolutely true. And, you know, Obama is a rabid Marxist, comes from a Marxist background. It's very interesting that his legal team has also sealed all of his records from Columbia University and Harvard Law School. because there must be something in the application for applying to those that he put down something about Indonesian citizenship or something that would taint this. I mean, otherwise, why? There may be even great irregularities. There may be a lot of interesting things about how he was pushed along in the system. Somebody obviously noticed early on that this is a person we can make use of. And why they would pick a rabid Marxist, I'm not yet fully certain. But one thing I am sure of, he's controlled. And, you know, the left is always amazed as they attack the powerful establishment forces that generally don't go along with them. But then occasionally the establishment picks up one of their people and vaults them into prominence. And they're just left shaking their heads. Well, what did we do wrong or what did we do right?
I think one of the big things is that everybody is focusing on the Marxist and communist and Islamic, you know, things that Obama is associated with, the factions he's associated with, but nobody points out that it is the same very wealthy trilateralist establishment people backing Obama that are backing McCain. So we focus our attention on his Marxist background, but never upon the fact that it's the George Soros's and the Warren Buffett's and the other multi-billionaires associated with the Trilateral Commission that are really the force behind us, Obama. And so we miss, you know, the influence of the establishment that's running him, and we focus on, my goodness, this man has communist affiliations with people like Franklin Marshall Davis or William Ayers, things of that sort, and we never see the real force behind Barack Hussein Obama. That's the thing that becomes most apparent to me. They focus our attention on the wrong issues.
Well, certainly voters do get easily diverted, and much of this is what the controlled media is all about. You know, it's not even enough to mention something. I mean, even the media could get away with mentioning this Obama citizenship problem once or twice. As long as they didn't make it a drumbeat, people would say ho-hum and go on about their way. And the reason is because if important media personalities like Tom Brokaw and others say ho-hum that this is a non-issue, everyone turns around and says it's a non-issue. Not everyone, but, you know, the majority of people. The mere fact that they won't even mention this one time, though, indicates that they're scared to death of this issue because it's so cut and dried, and it would derail all of their plans. You know, John McCain really was not intended to be the Republican nominee, and they simply did that because they tried to foist Rudy Giuliani on the conservatives, and it just wouldn't fly. And all of the votes were going to go to Mitt Romney, who's not an insider. And even though he was trying to be, he was not an insider. And it's very important that when you're running a very ruthless conspiracy to take down American sovereignty, you don't have a person as smart as Mitt Romney in there because he might see something. And then you'd have to try to control a person who isn't about to let himself be controlled. Not a real Mitt Romney fan, just because of the fact that he's made all of these compromises as a conservative to try to get elected, and a person who makes that degree of compromise. I mean, a conservative has no business running, frankly, to be governor of Massachusetts. He ought to know that he would have had to make serious compromises to win that election, and that's one of the reasons why he didn't run for re-election. He ran for president rather than face the fact that the hard left in Massachusetts was coming out in force against him. He leveraged on to the presidency, but then took on all those CFR advisors trying to please the establishment, the best advisors that money can buy. And they still didn't want it. And that's what's incredible. That shows that it's not just being a yes-man to the issues. This is a serious business, this conspiracy to take down liberty, and you need a true puppet in there who will not be bothered in his conscience by what he sees. And McCain, for example, is a most corrupt individual. He's an opportunist. He's a grossly immoral man who's slept with hundreds of women and betrayed all of his wives. This is a man whose own son says, my father's the most dishonest person and corrupt person I have ever met. We've never heard that in the media. That's big story when the son of a sitting senator makes that kind of statement about his father. And So I'm no fan of McCain. My recommendation for your listeners is that they vote for principle. And I think that there's really only one principled candidate for a third party running for president, and that's Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party. John Barr, I've been familiar with since my days in Washington, and I don't trust him. He's former CIA. He's an immoral individual who's had a lot of baggage in that regard. He gets angry, like McCain, at people like Ron Paul for any slight little disagreement that they might have. This is not a person I think that is trustworthy, even though he's running for the Libertarian Party, which has many good principles. I don't think we can trust Bob Barr, and he will unfortunately split off the vote from Chuck Baldwin. The Libertarians are certainly going to get a large portion of the Ron Paul vote, even though Ron Paul has come out and endorsed Chuck Baldwin of the Constitution Party. Ron was attempting not to endorse anyone and stay neutral and encourage people only to vote third party, which I didn't agree with that strategy. I know he was trying to not offend the Libertarians, of which he ran for president at one time.
Hey, we'll be back in just a minute, Joel. Hold that thought right here at the American Freedom Network.
He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all. Because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message. Paid for by Obama for America.
At this defining moment in our history, the question's not, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? The real question is, will our country be better off 4 years from now? Here's what I'll do as president. I'll launch a rescue plan for the middle class that begins with a tax cut for 95% of working Americans. I'll end the tax breaks for companies that ship our jobs overseas and give them to companies that create jobs here in America. I'll focus on our urgent national priorities, reducing the cost of health care, breaking our dependence on foreign oil, and making sure that every child gets the education they need to compete. We face real challenges, and they won't be easy to solve. But we can do it if we end the mindless partisanship, curb special interest power, and restore our sense of common purpose. Because if we stand together, we can meet our challenges and ensure that there are better days ahead.
If Wall Street has taught us anything, it's that we can't trust our economy to the wishes of a greedy few. That's why today in Colorado, leading businesses and organizations are standing united with working families against a few greedy owners and their risky Amendment 47. The Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, Quest, Xcel Energy, and the Colorado Nonprofit Association are just a few who have joined to say no to Amendment 47. They know now's not the time to gamble with Colorado's economy just to benefit a greedy few. They know Amendment 47 would put at risk the wages and benefits our working families have earned. Bill Coors has even said, quote, "The current law has worked for over 60 years. If it's not broken, why fix it?" We need to vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief have paid for this message.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before we go on, would you like to get your telephone number, pardon me, or at least your website, and tell people how they can get copies of the World Affairs Brief and perhaps subscribe to it?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. My website is www.worldaffairsbrief.com, where it gives a synopsis of the current World Affairs Brief, and a new one's coming out today on the latest update on this Obama citizenship problem. If people want a free sample copy of what we're discussing today, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, they can just go to worldaffairsbrief.com, and it tells them how to do that right on the front page. Lots of free things on the website. My research staff posts the best of the conventional stories each day on my website, and this saves people a lot of time to have these things pre-screened so that the best stories are up there with the least disinformation in them. And that's what the World Affairs Brief is all about, is my analysis and putting back into things that the media omits purposely to distort the news, and that's the primary way in which the media does distort news. Before we go back to the election, I just can't let pass the fact that during the break we listened to all of these very, very liberal advertising on this radio station, and the one about Amendment 47 is an egregious sleight of hand advertising that makes it appear as if only greedy people are trying to stop working class America. In fact, this is a right to work piece of amendment, which is a very good piece of legislation, and people ought not to heed this drumbeat from these organizations, which are all labor union funded, with these nice sounding euphemistic names, you know, Citizens for the American People and other things. It's just a fraud, and very, very dishonest for their claims. So I just have to state that in counter to this barrage of advertising.
All right, well, let's get back to the election. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, we were talking about my recommendations. I think it's very important for people to make a stand against this lesser of two evils. The Republican establishment has been manipulating the conservatives for many, many years over the issue of, well, you don't want a Democrat in there, do you? So vote for our liberal Republican that we give you. But in fact, we always get more damage under a liberal Republican than even under a Democrat, because at least the conservatives will fight when there's a Democrat in office, whereas if it's a Republican, they allow the Republican to corrupt their own conscience, to corrupt their own philosophy. They keep the Republican keeps telling them it's in their best interest to have this socialist piece of legislation. Now, of course, even if we had a Republican win, we'd have a Democratic Congress. This is usually what they give us when you get a Republican president. So the Republican president has an excuse to give in to them, saying, well, it's the best that I could get into a Democratic Congress. And that's always what happens with the nomination of judges in the Senate consent process, is that the Senate, when it's controlled by the liberals, just says, no constitutionalists, and give us somebody that we'll vote on, and they end up giving them liberals. Of course, George Bush, you know, gave people who weren't exactly liberal, but he named people to the Supreme Court who were very much in favor of this government power agenda of strengthening the executive. And we'll see John Roberts and others continue to push this as the Bush administration and other Republicans continue to undermine constitutional protections against excess executive power.
Well, I always like to point out that we talk about the Supreme Court. My goodness, that's where we got to get the Republicans in. But people have forgotten that seven of the present Supreme Court justices were nominated by Republican presidents, not by Democrat presidents. And the reason that the Supreme Court is liberal is because the Republicans put them in power. But we can't let the public know that. And we've got to make the public believe that the Republicans are conservative, the Democrats are liberal. And yet we have to actually look and see what the Republicans have done. They have not tried to do away with Roe versus Wade. They've wanted to keep the issue of abortion there. So Republicans and Christians and Christian leaders would back the Republicans. And yet when they had the power, they absolutely refused to try to solve the problem of abortion and save the lives of unborn children. So it's all hypocrisy, it's all smoke and mirrors, rhetoric over reality. and the public goes along with it, because nobody ever points out the fact we have a one-party system with two branches, both controlled at the top by exactly the same people who make mockery of this concept of representative government.
Well, it's very important for people to understand that until we break the two-party monopoly by getting a third party up there, at first, the only thing a third party is going to be able to do is deny victory to a Republican. I mean, that's the reason why they ran Ross Perot and gave him a place on the debate format, was because they wanted to derail enough votes to George H.W. Bush that could get Bill Clinton elected. And that's why, initially they run, Ralph Nader's a Green Party candidate. When they want a Republican back in, they have him draw votes of the Democrat. In this case, of course, the Democrat is going to win, and, unless something happens dramatically, like a war breaks out or something, I don't think there's any chance of McCain being in there. But clearly, we'll probably only have a Democratic president for 4 years. We'll get another Republican president, because I think the next presidency could be the presidency that has to deal with another world war, and they're going to want someone who's capable of bringing the false patriotism out of Americans and playing upon that in order to bring us into a new world order. And what better way to do that than a conservative? McCain, by the way, is the one who's been pushing this League of Democracy. This is a very, very slick way of preparing the way for Americans to come into a new world order without the baggage of the UN. There's a lot of resistance to letting the UN rule over the world, because it's controlled essentially by a lot of Marxist nations out there, even though the U.S. controls the funding and the Anglo-American establishment controls the funding. But what they want is to disarm the American people by making it appear as if we have a new international organization to which we can back, called the League of Democracies. And its military power force will be NATO. And NATO's already, Americans are disarmed about NATO. They think it's, one of us. It's Western forces. But this is also a trap, and I think we're going to see this come out into the open before that war, and I think it will take a Republican president to do that. Won't be McCain this next time around. They'll have to go fishing for another one, and they still have Romney to worry about. He's going to be there, trying to get into the presidency, and the powers that be will not allow that to happen, in my opinion. They'll have someone else in the wings. But, for all of Sarah Palin's work within the Republican Party, she's turned out to be quite an ambitious woman. She's going to be around to run, perhaps even for president, in the next election, and she'll be dangerous because she can be manipulated.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment with Joel Skousen to final segment here on American City Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
What happened to John McCain? He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo Chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the Chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all. Because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
If Wall Street has taught us anything, it's that we can't trust our economy to the wishes of a greedy few. That's why today in Colorado, leading businesses and organizations are standing united with working families against a few greedy owners and their risky Amendment 47. The Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce, Quest, Xcel Energy, and the Colorado Nonprofit Association are just a few who have joined to say no to Amendment 47. They know now's not the time to gamble with Colorado's economy, just to benefit a greedy few. They know Amendment 47 would put at risk the wages and benefits our working families have earned. Bill Kurz has even said, quote, "The current law has worked for over 60 years. If it's not broken, why fix it? We need to vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong." And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief have paid for this message.
Well, Dr. Stan, the American Freedom Network, our guest Joel Skousen. Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, we'll move on to another topic. The Bush administration is defying the law in many aspects. Remember about all the signing statements. Well, you know, one of the amendments to the telecom immunity bill was that they were going to put, in fact, even Barack Obama says this was the thing that changed his or excused him for changing his vote to be able to vote for the telecom immunity bill, was that there would be a public accounting of any surveillance that the government was involved in, that involved American people. And now the Inspector General has marked this report to Congress classified, which violates the whole essence of the law. And Sylvester Reyes, the committee, House Intelligence Committee chairman, says, here's what the law says. Explain to me why you're not following the law. And Reyes' letter also included a request the Inspector General's issue a preservation order preventing the White House or an intelligence community from removing or destroying documents related to the warrantless surveillance program. With barely 3 months left in the administration, Reyes wants to make sure that they don't destroy anything when they walk out the door. Of course, sadly, Congress has never done anything to them when they do defy Congress. Obama was attacked by his liberal supporters for reversing his position on this most controversial law giving telecom immunity. But he said he pointed to the mandate for a public report as a reason he was finally prepared to back the measure, even though it would squash the lawsuits that could have led to a public airing of the extent of warrantless spying conducted by the administration. Of course, this was a very neat trick. You make promises to the public about public responsiveness that you don't intend to fulfill, and you claim immunity from any consequences. Of course, there's more executive arrogance on the news as well. The Bush administration has informed Congress that it is bypassing a law intended to forbid political interference with reports to lawmakers by the Department of Homeland Security. This is just almost identical to the 2007 law reauthorizing or funding for Homeland Security requires the agency's chief privacy officer to report each year about Homeland Security activities that affect privacy and requires that the reports be submitted directly to Congress without any prior comment or amendment by superiors, meaning no editing, by superiors of the department or the White House. The newly disclosed documents show that the Justice Department issued a legal opinion last January questioning the basis for that restriction, and that Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security Director, advised Congress that he would not be applying this provision strictly because it infringed on the president's powers. Each and every one of these acts of defiance of Congress should be grounds for impeachment. That's the only issue that, or the result that Congress can do. But when they pass a law and the president puts those signing statements on them, that ought to be grounds for impeachment. But we see nothing.
Well, after all, you know, they can send... I have very little sympathy for Senator Stevens of Alaska, but he is going to be sent to prison for 8 to 10 years for filling out a form incorrectly. That is the charge. That's what he's convicted on. You know, it was, I'm sure he was probably taking gifts. I'm sure many of them take gifts in one way or another from people.
But Dr. Stan, that's not just any form. That's certifying.
It may very well be, but they obviously went out to get him.
You're not being corrupt, and that should he should go to prison for certifying that he has not, that this is the truth about his compensation. He's not taking any money under the table.
Well, but
so I'm not letting him off easy on that.
No question, but obviously they wanted to get him. They can get any one of those congressmen, any one of the senators. They've all made mistakes in filling out
forms. Well, they can't get Ron Paul. I don't think Ron Paul's ever made.
Well, I think that Ron Paul is a very unusual individual. I wish there were more Ron Pauls there.
This is not an issue of an unjust technicality, Dr. Stan. This is a real problem of ethics of things, and the fact that they let most of them get away with it is the issue. And they decide to take Stevens down, and I'm not sure why in particular, unless they've got something else in store for Alaska. But certainly it's not because any of these congressmen on the ethics committee have any higher ethics than than Stevens. He just got caught, and they haven't yet.
Well, I'm sure they obviously wanted to get him out of there, and I'm sure most of them do exactly the same thing.
Yes, that's correct. Well, there was another international secret military meeting in the U.S. No press coverage, no announcements whatsoever, but newspaper officials from the Enterprise in the town of Saranac in the Adirondacks in New York just happened to notice that there was a Boeing 757 airplane with the United States of America printed all across its fuselage parked on the ramp there at the Adirondack Regional Airport in Clear Lake on Friday. Powerful generals and admirals from some of the most powerful nations on Earth were meeting somewhere in the local area on that weekend and flying into that airport. The Pentagon won't say why, but whenever you have this kind of high-level staff meeting, joint chiefs were seen there, also the equivalent joint chiefs of the nations of France and Germany and the Netherlands and Spain and most of the EU countries and Britain were there. You have to say, why the secrecy on this trip? My suspicion is that the powers that be are planning for a military arm of this new League of Democracies in NATO, and they're cooking up the military arm of this and holding secret talks about that. That's the only reason why they wouldn't release that to the public. But we have to watch what our government does like a hawk, because they do so much that is illegal when they do it in secret.
Well, you can't help but wonder, are they planning a war with somebody? I mean, why get all of these military people together? Is the military going to be used to put down the uprisings if, the world goes into an economic crisis? Obviously, the military is an extension of the power of the central authority. And it's going to be very interesting to question why they want to get all these top-notch military people from all over the world together. There's got to be a reason. I wish we knew what
right.
it was.
And the mere fact that they hold public meetings all the time, and then they hold this one in secret, indicates something special is going on here. In other news, the Iraq forces deal has turned poison.
That sounds like we're out of time.
I guess
time,
we're out of
Joel.
Time. All right.
We are. God bless. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
The Federal Communications Broadcast Advisory for Political Broadcasting Regulations states, all broadcast facilities must make available to all legally qualified candidates equal opportunity and reasonable access at the lowest unit rate. KHNC has complied and made such time and rates available to all legally qualified candidates. If we run any political candidate, we must run all political candidates.
And first, this is the time I like to mention that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will listen to our programs. As you know, we're on the Internet. You can get our programs 5 hours a day, including this program, and then 4 other hours. We try to bring you the information you're not going to get from the controlled media. Our website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And certainly our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. How do we understand what's going on in the world today? There are powerful forces behind the scenes. Certainly there are men of great wealth and great power and great fame and great notoriety. And these people, many of them have given themselves over to the dark spiritual forces that really rule the world. If you doubt that, we have a little pamphlet put out by the people on the other side. It's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, published by the Lucius Trust, used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. If you get any of our other items, we'll be glad to send you a copy of that. Certainly we have the material. We have my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the Forbidden Secret, which will give you certainly the continuity of events dating back 5,000 years, going into ancient Egypt and Assyria and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks, and certainly the great Greek philosophers, Socrates and certainly Pythagoras, Aristotle, Plato. They were all tied into the mystery religions. And what was the secret of the mystery religions? Why, that's why you need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, to find it out. And there's a great syllabus that goes with that that brings you right up today to the President Bush's inaugural speeches in the year 2001 and 2005. And we will introduce you to the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm, with a phrase that President Bush used twice in his 2001 inaugural address. You need to have this information. You need to understand what's going on. And then, of course, our talk on the planned police state. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you want to understand what's going on financially and begin making your preparations properly, why, of course, we have a 4-tape set on the financial Armageddon. We have my talk on the financial tsunami. It was given a couple of years ago, but nothing has changed, and the advice is just as good as it was. Financial tsunami, and comes with a syllabus. We have two little pamphlets. One is on the history of money. You need to understand money because you work your whole life to accumulate it, and it can be gone in value overnight. And then, of course, you need to get the pamphlet on the financial meltdown. We carry 3 books. The Creature from Jekyll Island, it's out of print, won't be available for 3 weeks, but you can get your order in now. The last printing of that book, it was only around for about 2.5 months. We were putting out 30 copies sometimes on a weekend of The Creature from Jekyll Island. People from all over the world acknowledge this is the best book out there. We also have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and